The first reading is from the book of Malachi, the third chapter. It's on page 874. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, said the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. And the second reading is from Luke, the third chapter, verses 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea, and Trachonitis, and Licinius, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God."
Thank you. Remember back in my first semester of seminary, Dr. Hawkins was our worship professor. And he used to say, "It's a dead language anyway. We don't have any audio recordings. Just say it with confidence and get through it." But anyway, in Malachi, which we don't spend much time in the book of Malachi, I talk about the refiner's fire and fuller's soap. Refiner's fire for God dealing with us. And the refiner's fire, when they would refine their precious metals, keep putting it in the fire, burn it a little more, heat it up, bring it out, and talking about doing that to us. Putting us in the fire to purify us, bring us out, in, out, in, out. And the way that the refiner knew that the metal was ready was that the refiner could see his reflection in it. Think about that with God. The way God knows we're ready is God looks at us and sees God's own reflection. Isn't that a beautiful idea? It's pretty cool. Now, fuller's soap, I thought like fuller's brush man at first. But no, fuller's soap was the soap that was used to wash the wool of sheep, to get all the nasty stuff out of it. Now, you think about a sheep in Israel. It's out there in the dust and the dirt for all of its life and for a full year until it comes in for its haircut and its wool cut. And so all sorts of nasty bramble and dirt and grime and sheep's snot and all sorts of stuff is in there, and a fuller's soap would be pretty harsh soap that would cleanse out all the impurities that the sheep had picked up wandering around the world. How about that? That's a cool idea too. So the suggestion is that hard times help. That hard times help us to be closer to God. Now, God doesn't cause our hard times necessarily, but hard times happen. Hard times happen, and God is there to make it better. Once it's over, God is there to make sure we learn the lesson, and so we can reflect God better and walk around a little more clean. A beautiful idea. Now, our sermon title this morning, I believe, is not that. First practice, then preach. Is that right? Let's practice before we preach. Okay, so keeping in mind this idea of hard times to purify, we're going to talk about peace and how to be peace, how to live in peace, how to follow the way of peace. And it's not always easy, is it? It's not always easy to be peaceful, to go with the peaceful impulse, especially when you are hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. Hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. Those times when we are physically taxed are the very hardest times for us to appeal to our better nature and be peaceful rather than ripping into someone who richly deserves it. So yesterday I run my first 5K through Seneca Falls, New York, which is, I believe, and many people believe, actually Bedford Falls, the place that It's a Wonderful Life was modeled after. You know that marvelous movie you probably have only seen a few hundred times. So It's a Wonderful Run takes you running through all of this stuff, and they even put up the Bailey Savings and Loan sign, and they have the Clarence Hotel there on Main Street, and they have actors in garb. We ran into George Bailey and Donna Reed, and we ran into Mr. Potter, not Colonel Potter, he wasn't there. Mr. Potter was there, though, and Clarence the Angel before he got his wings, and he was carrying Tom Sawyer with him. We ran into all of them, and it was a great run. It was fantastic. It was my first 5K. I'm a bike rider. I am not a runner. I get sore. It hurts. And we're running. There's only about 3,000 of us running through the streets of Seneca Falls. And I'm running along, and little kids are following me, and old ladies with walkers are passing me. And I'm dressed in blue and gray this morning to tell you that my body was in conflict with itself. It was sort of a civil war going on. You know, my spindly little birdie legs are saying, my 49-year-old spindly little birdie legs, my 49-and-a-half-year-old little spindly birdie legs are saying, we're hurt! Where are the pedals? Why are we gliding? What are you doing? It's cold! And my head is saying, a little further, a little further, a little further, a little further. And my chest cavity is saying, oxygen! I'm running along, and I'm trotting past the limo full of drunk 20-year-old women who are screaming out, keep going, keep going, and past the people who are blasting out Born to Run and ringing cowbells and saying, yeah, you can do it, you can do it, and past the people who are stopping and keeling over, you know, and I'm running along in the cold December air. Thank you, Bonnie. That's all I wanted. And I finished the race, including the last run down where you go down by the, I don't know if you know Seneca Falls, those of you who do, you go down by the canal. There's this way down, and I'm running along, and some guy says beside me, says he's standing on the sidelines with a beer gut, and he says, you could fall and roll from here. It was tempting. It was tempting, surely tempting. And so I did. I let gravity do its work, and I just kept picking up my feet and leaning forward, and I'm done. And joy of joy, heart of hearts, I hear some guy on the side say, man, that guy's hauling. No, that guy's falling. But I got to the end. I did it. I ran the race. My little nylon shorts that go squeeze, 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 squeeze when I run. Spindly little hairy bird legs. And I had started with a compression top and a sweatshirt. And halfway along, I peeled off the sweatshirt and turned it into an apron. So I looked like either a demented cook or a mason or something, I don't know. But I'm running along with my little skirt flapping in the breeze. And I get done and I'm hobbling. And there's a community center there. And it's kind of L-shaped, and there's a big gym where everyone's going. That's where the bananas are. And for some reason, after you run, all you want is a banana. And it's in that gym. And I see the outside doors to the gym, and they're open a little. And there's this cute little 20-something brunette standing there with the gym door open. Now, I remember from before the race that those doors had been locked. And I can see over her shoulder, bananas. There they are. And I hobble over on my cold little spindly hairy birdie legs. My compression top is dark blue here. And I know I smell like those sheep before the Fuller Show. And I go over all the way to the door, and she turns and she says, "You can't come in this way." Now you need the full picture. She says it to me. "You can't come in this way." And I'm like, the bananas are right there. It's cold all of a sudden. My legs are cramping up. The little muscles are going. My chest is saying, "Oxygen." And my head is saying, "Banana." And there's this one person between me and warmth and my banana and the sweatpants that I left not 20 feet inside the gym from where she's standing. And I know they're right there, and my calves know they're right there because my brain told them. And suddenly, the joy of being alive and not dead by the side of the road or not in Mr. Potter's wheelchair is replaced by, "You are in my way." I don't do well with bureaucracy under any circumstances. Ask my family at tax time. "How you doing, Dad?" I don't do well with things being so for no good reason. It's not like people are flooding to this door and there's going to be a crush like the Who in Cincinnati. It's nothing like that at all. We can all get to the bananas. It's a great big gym. It's a double steel door and it's open. And I just ran 3.1 miles. And I'm cold. And I'm hungry. I'm hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. But I'm wearing a freaking halo. So what can I do?
You can take her to court.
I can take her to court. Oh, I'm sorry?
I was gonna say, you could take her Corey.
Oh, I could take her Corey. Yeah, I could do that. I could take her in court. I don't know if I could have taken her at that point. But I could rip into her. After running through Bedford Falls, "Hello, movie theater! Hello, building alone!" and all the joy and frivolity, I could have ended it for both of us right there by saying what was right on the tip of my tongue, saying, "Get out of my way, you jerk. I ran, you didn't. Those bananas are mine." Or, "Come on!" I could have done that. But I took a deep breath. And then another. And then another. And I said, "Okay, you're doing your job. Thanks." And I walked all the way around. I walked around to all the wide-eyed women waiting to get into the two commodes. You know, there were 3,000 people there, and there were two potties inside that building. And I walked into the gym, and I put on my sweats, and I got my banana. No one except that banana was harmed in the course of that whole story. No one had their joy killed. No one had to overcome my actions, except maybe the people who were running behind me. There was peace because of those critical few. I think I'll take this off so you can take me seriously. Those critical few deep breaths that I took. Now, to practice before we preach means just to realize that God is still working on us and God is still working on the person over there who afterwards let people in through that door. But cleansing breath. We got time. We got time, at least, to take a deep breath. We've got time, at least, to let God scrub a little more with that fuller soap on us. Time to feel the fire and know we can be purified by it. Know that in that situation, we can reflect anger or we can reflect God. I went away, the girl knew I was disappointed, but the girl knew I wasn't mad at her. The girl knew she had done her job, and it was cool. Everything was fine. Hopefully later she saw me eating my banana and thought, all right, the old timer's going to make it home okay, and thank God he covered up those spindly, hairy little birdie legs. But that little story is the big picture too. So much of what we regret and have to overcome in life is all because we don't take the moment first to practice what it is we're going to preach. We don't take the time to apply it first to ourselves before we try to force someone else to follow it. We don't take the time to just breathe deep and let it go. If we want peace this holiday season to go with our hope, it's a matching set of four in Advent, hope, peace, joy, and love. If we want peace, all we have to do, we don't even have to reach for it. All we have to do is open ourselves to it. A few deep breaths, a couple of moments where we don't say or do anything. Remember, don't just do something, stand there. And we can end up making ours and everybody else's life so much better, so simply, with next to no effort on our part. Now, I'm not real sore today. I got my banana, that's why. And we all had a good run. And today there are 3,000 people smiling at what they did or grimacing a little at what they did. And all those people who put on the run when they woke up this morning, I like to think they thought, wow, we put on a great event and we really celebrated the love of this community and the joy of Christ and the joy of Christmas. I could have messed that up for somebody. And I am so thankful that I didn't, because it made for a much more pleasant sermon for me this morning. It's amazing how pleasant our life could be if we practice first before we preach. Amen.